welcome. I'm Pastor Vincent Grissom, and this is Applying God's Word, a teaching ministry from the Word of God. This is study number 122, titled, Our Serious Walk with God. Our time here is precious. We really are not here on this earth for very long. Eventually, and usually without warning, we will die. We are told in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2, that there is a time to be born and a time to die. We can make the most of the time we have left on earth by being serious about our walk with God. Many people live carelessly, not giving much thought about their relationship with God. One day, we will all have to stand before the Creator of the universe. The question that requires an answer is this: Will God be your Heavenly Father who will receive you as a forgiven child? Or will God be your judge who will expel you to an eternal punishment? In a serious walk with God, it is essential that you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Apart from Christ, there is no walk with God. Apart from Christ, there is no saving relationship with God. So to the person who is outside of God's saving grace, I urge you to cry out to Jesus, who is ready to receive you. I urge you to pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior this very day. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says to you, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To the child of God, I urge you to make the most of your walk with the Lord. Don't be a casual Christian who lives day by day with no thought of a deeper walk with Christ. In Psalm chapter 1, we have a plea for a deeper, more solid, more productive walk with God. The person who has a close walk with God is called blessed. So how can we make our walk a blessed walk with God? We need to look carefully in three directions and answer three important questions. The three directions are to carefully look around, carefully look inside, and to carefully look ahead. The first question begins with a look around. How are you being influenced? Let's begin with Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There are only two possible ways we can be influenced. Either we are influenced with godly influence or with ungodly influence. We need to look around and ask ourselves the question, how are we being influenced? Who or what are we allowing to influence us, to shape us, to mold us? Verse 1 tells us of the ungodly influence. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You don't have to teach kids to be bad. They learn that quite well. We were by nature the children of wrath. We must be delivered from wrath. Thank God in Christ, he has rescued us and made us a child of God. Yet we must be aware of ungodly influences. Note the stages of ungodliness from this verse. First, walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk speaks of the direction we're going. Turn away from ungodly counsel. Don't go in that direction. Some folks start each day by reading their horoscope. That's the counsel that they get each day. It's ungodly counsel. Some folks will listen to a talk show and get counsel on how to deal with everyday life from the show. Some people seek social media for the counsel of public opinion and the ever-changing liberal view of worldly wisdom. When we go in the direction of worldly wisdom and forsaking godly wisdom, we are under ungodly influences. The next step from the verse is standing in the way of sinners. After we go in the direction of seeking advice from the ungodly, we move from consulting the ungodly to identifying with the ungodly. Standing speaks of how we are now identifying with the way of sinners. We are not opposing their viewpoint. We are embracing what they say, how they think, and how they live. The danger begins by not going back to where we should be, but we stand where they stand. We identify with their position. There's only one position that's worth having, and that's God's position. There's only one viewpoint that's worth having, and that's God's viewpoint. And finally, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Sitting speaks of a resting place. We have landed on a position that we feel very comfortable with. We first just walked around some ungodly counsel. Then we began to stand around in ungodly counsel. Finally, we adopt it as our own. We now sit down and take our seats. We sit in the seat of the scornful. We now embrace ungodliness and scoff and mock at everything that is holy and godly. Have you seen these stages develop in someone else? If so, then pray for them. Has someone else seen these stages developing in you? If so, don't defend it or make excuses for it. Repent of it. The blessed man, that is, the person who makes much of his walk with God, will surround himself with godly influence. He does that by the rest of verse 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Delighting in the word of God. How do you come to delight in God's word? It's because there was a beginning time when you found delight in Jesus, when you were first a new believer in Christ. Remember 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Your appetite for the Lord and his word will become dull when you feed too much on this world. Get back in God's word and keep on allowing the word of God to speak to you. Pray and ask the Lord to give you a hunger for his word. If we are to be exposed to godly influence, it will be found in the Bible. Verse 1 concludes with meditating on God's word. It's not enough to just read words from the Bible. We must allow the passages to get into our thinking and to shape our thoughts into the mind of Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is such a passage. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is more than just reading casually through the Bible. The truths must be internalized. How can we stay clean while in a world that influences us in the wrong way? Meditate on this verse. It's Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Meditate on this verse as well. It's John chapter 15, verse 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Our life is drawn from Christ's life. Here's John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We are set apart by the truth of God's word that we are taught. Let's continue describing the blessed person in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 1. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. So now let's look inside. Our second question is, what are we becoming? How we are influenced will reflect in what we become in character. Look inside your heart. That is where you really live. Ask yourself, what kind of a person am I becoming? The person who delights in God's word, and he or she meditates on God's word, will become like a tree planted by the streams of water. You have found the source of true happiness. You are refreshed and nourished, and it shows. It shows in three ways from this verse. First, fruitful, yields it fruit in season. You will be a fruitful person. What is a fruitful person? It's been described this way. You go away from them fed. You go away strengthened. You go away with your taste for spiritual things awakened. Their words are healing and convicting, encouraging and enlightening. Just some of the characteristics of being around a fruitful person. Second is durable. Whose leaf does not wither? Though the hot winds may blow and the rain doesn't fall, this person is planted by the rivers of water. He is planted in God's word, and while other people are withering away, he remains nourished, strong, and vibrant in faith. Regardless of which way the wind blows, he is planted in the word. While some will look at the prosperity of the wicked and their strive to gain the whole world without considering the end result, our focus must remain in the infallible word of God. In Psalm 73, we read how a brother or sister can be troubled by seeing the prosperity of the ungodly until they read the full chapter. Psalm 73, verse 2 and 3. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Then we read verse 16 and 17. When I tried to understand all this, it troubled me deeply, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. God gave Asaph, the writer of Psalm 73, some insight. If you find yourself feeling like this, I urge you to read Psalm 73 in its entirety. You haven't seen their end. So while the blessed one is like a tree planted by streams of water and prospers, Psalm chapter 1 verse 4 tells us, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. So whatever the afflictions are of the righteous in this world, for the believer, this is the only hell you will see and experience. For the unbeliever, this world is the only heaven they will ever know. The last four words of Psalm 1 says, the ungodly shall perish. Look inside. What are you becoming? Are you like the tree planted? Are you like the chaff that the wind blows away? What's inside will be revealed in given time. Now let's look ahead. And our third question is, how will you stand before the Lord? Verse 5 and 6 of Psalm 1. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. There is a destiny awaiting each of us. Up ahead, judgment day is coming. Will you be judged among the ungodly? The ungodly will not be able to stand on judgment day. They will not have an excuse to stand on. They won't be able to stand on their own self-righteousness. In heaven, there will only be one assembly. Verse 5 tells us it's the assembly of the righteous. There will be no sinners in that assembly. Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. There will be one pure, holy, godly congregation. The congregation of the redeemed, the congregation of those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, a holy congregation. Look ahead. So again, how will you stand before the Lord? Verse 6 says that the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly has their own way, the way that seems right to them, the way of do as you please, the way of the world, the way of self-righteousness, the way of works, the way of man-made religion. Your serious walk with God begins with godly influences. Godly influence will result in what you become on the inside, godly character. Godly character is what God wants from you and me. He's looking for Christ's likeness. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 reminds us, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Ungodly ways will not stand on Judgment Day. It is essential that you know Christ as your Lord and Savior. Apart from Christ, there is no walk with God. So I want to close with two passages of Scripture, starting with this invitation from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. In Christ, there is relationship with God. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.